So folks have a lot of different emotions when it comes to Christmas any year. Obviously, some of us just kids excited for the next toy or something, but there can be a lot of pain coming between now and Wednesday. This with some of you, and I know just my own heart too, right? Like there's pieces of traditions or not having traditions or hurt or loss. And I was reading this morning in Psalm 77, and the whole beginning of the psalm was about, God, why is stuff so hard for us right now? But then halfway through the psalm, he said, but I chose to remember all the stuff that you did for us, right? And there's nowhere better for us to go this morning, as Christmas is right around the corner, than to remember that when Jesus saw all the brokenness in humanity, all the pain, all the struggle, that God loved the world enough, right? He sent Jesus as a baby. And to just say, Jesus, we're going to focus on you. And we're going to respond to you. So this is going to be kind of a different sermon than normal. My family has this tradition on Christmas Eve. We all get together, big extended family, where my dad would pick out people to read, and we just read a big chunk of scripture about Jesus coming to earth. And I'm going to invite you kind of into that tradition. I don't even know how that's going to go for our family this year without having dad, but I'm going to read a big chunk of Luke. And if we put that slide up, I want you guys to turn here because 40 verses is kind of a crazy amount. You're like, oh man, we're going to be here till one. Glad the Chiefs won yesterday, right? Unless God does something crazy I'm not expecting, we're not going to be here till one. But what we are going to do is we're going to read this big chunk, and I'm not going to interrupt us while we're reading it. Like, I'm just going to read it to you. And what we're looking for, I'll talk to you a little bit about it when we're done, but what we're looking for here is I want you to open up to see Jesus in a deeper way, right? So some of you are like, man, I've heard this every year for 100 years, and some of you would be like, I didn't ever knew parts of this, right? But I believe through the Holy Spirit, every single person in this room, people watching online, if you will open up your heart and say, Jesus, I want to see you better, I think as we read this story out of Luke, you'll be able to see something in Jesus in a deeper way than you have before. And really, as Christians, like we get things right, when we put our eyes on Jesus, we really see him and love him, and then we respond. Like really, that's like the two-step, right? It's like the simplest dance ever, right? It's like you really see Jesus, love him, and then you respond to him. And we just keep trying to do that as Christians. So that's what we're going to do today in the sermon. I'm going to pray a blessing over us, right? Because the Bible's incredible, right? Like God inspired people to write this, but he needs to inspire our hearts as we listen to it too, right? Like we're trying to meet Jesus as we read it, right? Let's pray. Jesus, we're coming to you with faith right now. That's why we're praying. And we're asking your Holy Spirit to open us up to seeing you more, Jesus. We want to see you more right now so we can love you more and so then we can respond to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To catch you up in the Gospel of Luke, an angel has come, told Mary and others that God's son is going to be miraculously born through her, even though she's a virgin. And that's where we pick up in chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Please be looking at it yourselves as well. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time for purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. I want to give us just a moment of silence where you give the Holy Spirit a chance just to speak straight to your heart of what's beautiful or attractive about Jesus and how should you respond. Let's focus on Jesus. For some of you, you're like, wow, I want some more time to sit and think, right? And others, you're like, oh, that was a long time of silence, right? You know, one thing I'll say real quick is whatever we dig into here, you can always do more too. There's nothing stopping you from pulling somebody aside and saying, let's do lunch together and let's talk about more of this. Or from you going for a walk, even though it's cold, right, around your neighborhood later this afternoon and saying, like, I just want to keep this conversation going with God. But I'm going to hit us real fast through the whole passage. If we can go back, those slides that kind of number, go verse by verse. So all the way back to 2, starting in verse 1 through 7. I'm going to hit some things that I found really attractive about Jesus. And if you're here today and you're like, I don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm not really getting anything yet. You read all that and I was confused. I think it's okay when you're starting out to be like, I'm going to copy off of this guy. And Jesus, please help me, right? So if one of these stick out to you, like take, if you don't have one already, like take it and say like, I like that about Jesus too. Like I love that about Jesus too, okay? So the first one is verse 1 through 7. You see that there's some government power from a whole other country really far away from Jesus and his parents who don't care or know anything about Jesus and his parents. and they make some big decision to affect probably millions, at least thousands upon thousands of people, and it really doesn't make sense for Jesus and his parents. Like, Mary's pregnant, and I know we always see the donkey and stuff, but they're super poor. We're going to see that later. My guess is Mary walked, right, to get to Bethlehem. And if you've ever had a government ruling that came around and made a pregnant woman in your family take a huge long walk, right? I mean, you can have some resentments about, like, this isn't fair, this isn't right, I deserve better. Jesus could have been born anytime to any family, and he gets born in the middle of a bunch of bureaucracy and injustice where it's not fair for him and his family. And I think for some of us, we're like, huh, like the biggest, strongest person that got right into the middle of a bunch of stuff we probably feel like we've been in, right? He doesn't say, I deserve better than this, I'm not going to accept this, right? He comes right in the middle of all that. Philippians 2, if you really want to dig into that, talks more about how Jesus didn't have an entitled attitude, right? Even knowing who he was, he didn't come like that, right? We'll go on, verse 8 through 12. Jesus came for you, right? When they're talking to the shepherds, they talk about this will be good news for all people. Some of us know what it's like to chase after affection, right? Like, you feel like you're giving affection to people, but you never feel like you hear, I want you back from whatever that person is. Jesus takes the first step, and it's a big step to us, right? So, like, you're not waiting there twiddling your thumbs thinking, like, does Jesus love me? Like, Jesus in action came for you. He wants you. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's because you don't want it. Like, Jesus wants you, and it's not just words with Jesus, right? Like, he came to open the door for you. And for some of us that have chased affection or love, like, we need to realize that. Like, that's a very attractive thing, right? Like, Jesus takes the first step to me, right? We're going to keep moving fast, right? But you hold on to the one you want to hold on to. 13 through 15, these shepherds would have had no clue about Jesus, except for God sends this huge, like, celebratory, miraculous party to tell them the good news. And this is, like, really amazing, vivid scene. But the reality is, every single person that ever comes to Jesus, it's because God enabled them. God somehow said, like, hey, come check Jesus out. And that gets said a lot more clearly by Jesus himself in John chapter 6. But, like, nobody gets to Jesus unless the Father enables them. And right here we see it. Like, those shepherds would have had no clue if God didn't send somebody for them. And the truth is, like, God wants you to get connected with Jesus. And if you're like, I want what some of the other people in the room have, but I don't feel like I have it the same way, like, ask God. Like, God, enable me to have faith. God, help me to trust Jesus, right? Verse 16 to 20, as we go, keep going on. So the shepherds can't help but talk about Jesus. And it talks about Mary pondering all this stuff up in her heart, right? And for some of us, like, we need to tell somebody else about Jesus, right? Like, he's worthy of that. Like, if you pay attention to Jesus in your own life, you're going to have a hard time not talking about it. And also, you know, like, Jesus has done a bunch of big stuff in your life, or he is doing a bunch of big stuff in your life, and instead of always having music on, always having a podcast, always having a game on or something on the TV, and, like, always, like, phone scrolling, like, you just need to treasure something that God already did. And say, like, on my car ride to work this week, or while we're driving to my relatives or whatever you're doing, like, I'm just going to turn everything else off and remember something that I saw God do. Because it seems like Mary, like, chose to think about this. Like, Mary didn't understand this all right away. She's pretty blown away by stuff as it's happening. And if you read the rest of the Gospels, she's not totally clued in on Jesus, even during Jesus' ministry. But she ponders it, right? Jesus is worthy of that. Okay, verse 21 through 24. It's real easy to skip over these passages that are like, why are we getting into this temple stuff? You know, why are we talking about the eighth day and circumcision and the time for purification and going to Jerusalem? Well, there's some interesting stuff there, right? If we'll dig into it. One, God made all these rules for the Jewish people to try to help them have a journey to him. And it'd be a little bit like the kindergarten teacher being like, okay, I want to help these students so much, I'm just going to go sit in kindergarten class. And I'm going to color in the lines. I'm going to take all these really slow baby steps to show them how to do it. So like Jesus gets circumcised, right? He's got parents that are faithful to that. Also, you know, this purification thing, a lot of times, you know, if you don't go back in Leviticus and read this stuff, you might not know it. But like Mary's considered unclean after having a kid for about a month. And she needs to go and do a sacrifice. Like the family needs to go do a sacrifice at the temple for her to be like restored back to the community. But the normal way to do that is to offer a lamb and a dove. But then there's this little like, if you can't even afford a lamb, then you could just do a couple of pigeons or a couple of doves. And that's where I don't think Mary was probably on a donkey. Her and Joseph were so poor, like they had to bring just a couple little birds. Like they couldn't afford a lamb. Think about that. Like we always think of the shepherds as like the super poor ones, right? And they showed up. And isn't it so cool that God talked to the shepherds too? It's like the shepherds had lambs, right? Like Mary and Joseph, when they needed a lamb, they're like, well, we got to actually do like the poor person's exception, right? Like we got to do the like extra thing. And so to make a trip all the way to Jerusalem to show up at the temple in a lot of humility, right? To say we don't have enough to do it the fancy way. He's got parents that are like that, but imagine growing up in that family, right? Where you're poorer than most people around you. That's the family Jesus was in. And like whatever you've gone through in life, like my guess is Jesus shares some understanding like maybe a lot of other people don't. It's attractive, right? To go through life right now with somebody who understands something difficult about growing up. Verse 25. Simeon here is this amazing guy. He describes God's salvation through Jesus, and he has some verses about it, right? And my guess is if I said, like, into the mic, describe salvation in Jesus around the room, nobody would talk like Simeon talked right here, right? He's not wrong. He just emphasizes some different things than we normally emphasize. Jesus is the one who brings God's salvation, right? He saves us out of the mess that we're in. And it's worth figuring that out for yourself. Like if I got a chance to stand up and say, Jesus brings salvation, here's a few sentences where I'm going to talk about how great it is. You might not talk about Israel or the Gentiles, right? But how would you describe the salvation that you've experienced in Jesus, right? Like it's worth focusing on that, figuring it out. Because Simeon it's not exhaustive, right? It's good, but it's not the whole thing. Simeon's little, like, pull Mary aside is so interesting, right? And when he talks to her, he's like, Jesus is going to call this the rising and falling of a lot of people, and their thoughts will be revealed by how they respond to him. So this next slide here says crossroads on it. When Jesus shows up and people see him, nobody is the same after that. There's always a crossroads when you get to Jesus. And you're either going to be revealed as somebody that's getting closer to God or somebody that's getting farther from God. When Jesus shows up, the way we respond to him changes us. And it reveals who we really are. And so if God shows up in your family this week and pushes you to be gracious with somebody and you're like, but you don't know my uncle or whatever, right? Like you've just taken a step down a bad crossroads, right? I'm not saying walk around afraid of every moment. But what I am saying, when Jesus shows up in your life, like you're going to be a different person for better or for worse. You're not going to be the same. And even talking about, like you get to choose, does this Christmas story, does it change you for better or not? Because if it doesn't change you for better, it's changing you for worse, really. Like a chance to be with Jesus. If you don't take it, you're taking a step away, right? So there's always a crossroads when Jesus comes. And for Mary, it's like, even Mary, who's so good, we talked about how good she was last week, so trusting in God, Jesus is going to change her too, right? And it's, when you talk about a sword's going to pierce your heart, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a painful journey for even Mary with Jesus, right? Okay, almost wrapped up. All right, this last slide, and then we'll talk a little bit about responding to Jesus. So at the end here, it talks about, we got a couple more. I'm telling you the wrong thing. Sorry, I'm losing track. Okay, Anna the prophet, easy to overlook, right? Because Simeon says such great stuff. But think about how painful Anna's life is, right? Her husband dies, and then she lives to be in her 80s back in the ancient world. Like, what was it like to have teeth for 80 years, 2,000 years ago? It's painful, would be my one description probably, right? Like, what's it like to be a widow in a country, in a society that doesn't respect women or give women much ability to do anything economically? What type of life do you have where you're just like worshiping and fasting and hanging out in the temple all the time? Like, I don't know that she had much family, right? I don't know that she had grandkids running around. My guess is like a lot of pain in Anna's life. But Anna found purpose in the pain. She actually sounds like a grateful person. And how is that? She had this hope in Jesus that sounds like it's powering her life. And so even though she has all this pain, I talked to two different ladies this week, Maywood ladies, wonderful ladies, both of them, bodies like racked with painful long-term health issues, right? Like one of them can barely speak. The other one is going through a lot of pain too. The one that can speak more though was talking to me about her hope in Jesus, right? She's gone through so much pain, but she has all this hope. And not everybody responds to like lifelong illness that way, right? But Jesus can come into stuff that would crush a normal human, and he can make those people have some sort of purpose and some sort of gratitude that can't be touched by the pain. And I'm not saying beat yourself up if you're going through pain, because I don't know, I've seen daily pain just like destroy people on a spiritual side, right? So I know judgment there, but the hope is like Jesus can give hope when there's like nobody else has hope, right? And Anna's an example of that. Okay, getting to the very end of the chapter, or very end of our section with it. It talks about Jesus being strong, wise, and gracious. We've probably all met somebody who's strong. We've probably all met somebody who's wise. We've probably all met somebody who's gracious. And not to a Jesus level, but you've met somebody like that, right? It's really hard for those things to be in the same person, actually. We don't normally walk away from somebody thinking, like, wow, they're so strong, and they're so wise, and they're so gracious. Like, normally, even 2 out of 3 is rough, right? But, like, it's real hard to meet somebody that's that. That has grace and truth both, right? Jesus is the perfect person. You can't lean on anybody like you can lean on Jesus. And if you're here today, my guess is you need a relationship with somebody you can trust who is strong and who is wise and who is gracious. You don't need just one of those pieces, right? It's like Jesus is that. So what do we do about it, right? We've spent a long time looking at Jesus. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Like, how do we respond to Jesus, right? What do we do in response? The first thing is the shepherds don't wait, right? Like, they immediately go to check out what God told them about. And if the shepherds have been like, well, like, we got all these sheep, and I can ask my cousin Larry to come watch them in a couple weeks, and Jesus, I'm sure God will accommodate if we just hang out for a little while. No, like they hurry off to see what God did. And that's why they probably get a chance to see him, right? If they had just like sat on it, it probably would have never happened. Today, if God does something in your life, my guess is by the time you get out of here, you're going to have some opportunity to either get distracted or entertained or whatever and not respond to Jesus. Just because Jesus shows up in your life doesn't mean you have to respond to him. And so like the don't wait of the shepherds is worth imitating. Like, if Jesus told you to do something, like, why wait on it? The next thing I want to point out is obey. Mary and Joseph get a lot of experiences with Jesus in what we just read. And they're not perfect people, but they do a lot of stuff right in what we just read. They're submitting to the Bible, and that's why they have these experiences, right? They're not like, well, we're special because we just had God himself as our kid, right? We've all met people that have a new baby that feel like, well, none of the rules apply to us because we have a new baby, right? Like, we don't have to do any responsibilities. We don't have to be dependable or show up or whatever. Like, that's pretty normal, right? But that's not Mary and Joseph's, right? It's like, this is what we're supposed to do. We're going to do it. And because of that, they have all these experiences with Jesus. If you're here today and you're like, man, I'm real excited about Jesus. I move on stuff real quick. But I know the Bible is telling me to do a few things different in my relationships. Like, if you're choosing to disobey what you know God wants you to do, you're not going to experience Jesus like you're supposed to. And it's one thing to be like, Jesus, I'm trying and I keep failing, but it's another thing to just choose to not try, right? Go to God and say, God, help me to obey. Last thing we're going to hit on how to respond, so our last slide, is the faithful eyes. Simeon and Anna wait probably for decades for God to do what he said he was going to do. It's real hard to wait even for a week, right, on a promise from God. And I know it's hard to wait for months on a promise from God. When you feel like, well, God told me this is going to work out this way and to stay in my own lane, it's real hard to carry that out, right? And then, I mean, I'm only 39, but I have seen, like, God do some stuff where it's like, Jake, do this, and then 12 years later for the blessing to come, right? I can also tell you, like, if you tell me the blessing's coming in 12 years, like, that's not a motivating thing, right? Like, I'm not motivated. What I can tell you is just, if you will just look at God and believe, like, God's good, God's going to do what he said he's going to do, that'll get you through doing the next right thing. And if you can string together day after day of saying, God, I still have hope in you, I'm trusting you to do your part, then you'll get to these incredible experiences with Jesus, right? And I can't say, like, oh, it's going to be real easy. Anna and Simeon, I don't think, had easy lives, right? But when we're talking about responding to Jesus, like, don't wait. Do the next right thing, like, obey. But the final thing is, like, keep your hope, even when it takes some time. It's an exciting time to be at Maywood. There's probably a lot of adjectives we could use about, like, this season at Maywood. But here's what I believe with all my heart, is that as Christians, we're not alone, right? That God the Father, that Jesus the Son, that the Holy Spirit, that they're alive and active. And so, like, as Christians, we don't do things the way the rest of the world does, and our goals aren't what the rest of the world's goals are, right? So, like, we step out in faith when Jesus asks us to shoot for things that are only possible with Jesus, right? And so I want to pray a blessing over us, and it sounds super simple. It sounds easy to just, like, flip right through it and move on, right? But the power comes in, like, I really believe this is true. And if we will lean on as a church, that, like, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are with us as we follow them, right? Like, as we do their things, I think Jesus can bond us together. Bond us together to be Jesus' fullness. And so we're going to keep taking steps because we got a long way to go. But I want to pray because, like, we're going to start it off with, like, Jesus, we need you, right? So if you bow your heads, even if you're watching online, if you bow your heads, I want to pray this over us. This comes from the very end of 2 Corinthians. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.